This is the Reality Radio Network on Telstar 5 Transponder 5 and on the internet at realityradionetwork.com.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to a special broadcast of the Q-Files, the 20th of July. The year is still 2009. So many earth changes going on. So many convulsions taking place throughout the planet. Weird weather attributed now being attributed to the volcanoes that are going off in the Kamchatka Peninsula. With me tonight is scientist, my friend, obviously my expert in all things scientific, Stan Deo. Hi, Stan.
Good evening, Steve. How's weather where you are?
Well, actually, we have a nice day for a change, but I can tell you this. This is not the place you want to grow a garden.
No. No, well, we've actually got a little bit of cloud and possibly a sprinkler, too, where we are for a change. I mean, we're very dry, as it normally is. But anyway, El Nino favors Colorado with rain, so this is our chance to shine, I guess.
Right. Well, Stan, basically now, are you into the data stream? Are you allowed access, or have you found a way to get access to the sea surface temperature anomaly maps?
I have, Steve. I'm purposely withholding where I'm getting it.
Yeah, don't say
anything.
I don't
want that data stream to dry up, you know.
What are your concerns now, Stan? Obviously, the big news is the oceans are rising. Obviously, we've got the volcanoes going off. We've got the, you know, subsea volcanoes going off, some rather interesting earthquakes in the area, you know, of New Zealand, et cetera, in the South Pacific. But what are your main points of concern right now?
Wow. There's so many. But geologically speaking, the progression of earthquakes and certainly the volcanoes at Yellowstone and at Lake Taupo in New Zealand are of real interest. We've been seeing a number of significant earthquakes around New Zealand, and of course you're aware of the one that hit off the southern island tip of New Zealand about a week or so ago.
Correct.
Which is over a 7.5 or so. And which the new data that we've got on this map did forecast. The new data stream I've got for doing this, forecasting earthquakes, is a little more difficult for me to analyze, even though it's a much higher resolution one than we had before. It means I have to be very careful about very small dots of color change rather than larger ones, which the original Navy one gave me. So there's going to be a little bit of error in here, but so far we've been able to see a number of the significant quakes show up within a day or two of putting the map up. So that's pretty good. Right now, we're we're still kind of testing and fine-tuning it here, but the, for instance, the earthquakes that occur in Puerto Rico, we just don't see anything for them at all. We never did on the original map either, but there's just something about that area, the formation, what it's made of, what kind of rock or whatever it is, does not show a thermal change when it's about to break. But the west coast of the United States sure does, and some of the islands in the Indonesian area, some near Jakarta, Australia, New Zealand, all those are pretty good. So we're pleasantly surprised and happy to have the new data stream online. I'm working on today's. I haven't quite finished it yet because we ran out of time for the show, but it'll be up within about an hour after the show. We're seeing a threat of quakes in the Washington, Oregon area near the coast today. I don't know that it will be a large quake, but it's certainly going to be a quake in the next two or three days from what we can see, and some more off the shore of southern Mexico.
Now, did you see the story, since you're talking about the Pacific Northwest, did you see the big story that, quote, scientists underestimate the fact that there are horrific tsunamis that have hit the West Coast? You know, are you familiar with the news story that just
came out? Hey, how could I miss that? Holly put it up for our story of the day on the website. So.
Hey, I got news for you. Sometimes Holly puts my stories up on the day, and I miss which one was the story of the day.
I know. She sometimes forgets to tell me what I need to be aware of today. I kind of get loose in the morning and don't see her for a few hours. But today she called me and said, yes, you ought to take a look at this. Those super tsunamis from quakes up near Alaska and the Aleutian Island chains, they focus right down into Washington, Oregon, that little notch that's in the North American plate there. And they say that in the last 1,500 years, there have been two or three rather significant tsunamis hit our coast, and the worst was in 64, where a 40-foot tsunami hit. But they're suggesting from the article that there's going to be an even greater, or a chance of an even greater tsunami from the next one that happens. And you and I both know that earthquakes have been occurring all over the planet more regularly than normal, and in, say, in the last 6 months, I've noticed it. The earthquakes are in weird places where you don't normally see them. Have you picked that up?
Yeah, and I just keep thinking of the words of Jesus where he said, you know, earthquakes in diverse places.
Absolutely.
You know?
The same thing came to my mind. And I used to think, well, that means all over the planet. But I think this means in unusual places all over the place.
Correct. That, I believe, is the original meaning of the Greek.
And I think it also probably meant these earthquakes would occur in diverse places where people live so they could say, hey, that was an earthquake. You know, not depending on subsea ocean monitors or satellite monitors or whatever. This is on people saying, we had an earthquake here.
Well, you know, one of the things, too, that's interesting is when you and I first started doing talk radio, I think, you know, we were talking about 600 seamounts underwater volcanoes. Then over the last several years, it went up to 6,000. That last Russian volcano that went off in Kamchatka Peninsula a couple weeks ago. Did you see the ash plume? That was my photo of the day. I'm sure you had it on your website, too.
Yeah.
But we're even getting sunsets up in Montana. Now, there are no major forest fires anyplace on the West Coast, but that ash, you know, when you're hitting 135 to 150,000 feet and you're hitting the Gulf Stream, then we in Montana have had a cold air mass coming down from the Arctic. You know, it's fascinating to me that people don't realize how close at 600 miles an hour, Alaska or the Gulf of Alaska is, and then even how much closer the Kamchatka Peninsula is to the Pacific Northwest into the Mountain West.
I know, it's deceiving when you look at a flat map. You say, oh, they're all the way over there. But when you look at the round map, put everything in perspective, it is very close, and it's kind of breathing downhill on us, where the ocean currents are as well. So, no, it's a lot closer than people realize, and of course, with the weather or climate-altering factors from dust and stuff blown in the air by the volcanoes, and with the rain or lack of rain in various places, it is creating havoc with the farmers' crops because they're trying to outguess what the weather is going to do. And this El Nino isn't even a normal El Nino. It's in the wrong place. It's out more in the mid-Atlantic where it's not in a southern, oscillation zone. It's in the wrong place. So Lurley knows what the results of this is going to be on everybody, but we're seeing the rain start now in Colorado. So it just may mean the same places, but earlier, I don't know.
Well, okay, the deal is that, what you're seeing now in the sea surface temperature, I mean, draw the attention to the areas around the country where you think around the world where it's going to be the most difficult.
Well, you mean as far as quakes or?
Yes, where the big one now. Let's talk. I'm sorry, you said the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, Pacific Northwest. I think Southern California and San Francisco region too. I'm watching that Mendocino fault line, which is way out there. It's about 2,100 miles long, stretching out to the west from Eureka, California, which is just above San Francisco, a few miles. And that thing there has been showing signs of trouble for the last, gosh, 2.5-3 years. I reported it on George Neary's show as well, back when we still had access to the naval data at FENMOC. And there were signs of it stressing all the way along that 2,000-mile thing, which, of course, it turns into, it takes a right-angle turn and goes down south at Eureka, it becomes the San Andreas Fault. So whenever
right.
that one out there at sea in the northern Pacific starts to hiccup, I watch it real close because that means that we're looking at the potential for damage or triggering the San Andreas and the Hayward Fault and all the others that are out there. So that area there in California, kind of mid-California down to Southern California, I'm seeing a lot of signals there for minor to reasonable earthquakes, nothing like sevens or eights, anything yet. Also in Guerrero and in southern Mexico and down probably 300 or 400 miles south on the coast, there are a number of signals there showing a potential quake activity. And certainly over in Asia, Indonesia, the areas for volcanic activity are starting to show even in the middle of the North Indian Ocean.
The potential now to stand for severe climatic upheaval is everything from El Nino, obviously, drought, famine, the whole, if you will, the worst-case scenario that you and I have postulated, talked about, you know, decade on talk radio, 15 years ago on Art Bell for you. The thing is that do you think now, based on the amount of people buying Dare to Prepare and contacting you about safe places, do you think now you can see a noticeable and quantifiable change in the amount of awareness? I mean, let me ask you this. Let me maybe rephrase this. Are you seeing more panic now or more, this forceful concern?
Well, not panic per se. We've had probably 2 or 3 people in the last 6 months that have asked for things to be sent express overnight or something like, you know, prudent places or
right.
Dare to Prepare. But the main part we're seeing, which is really very prevalent, is family groups or groups of neighborhood friends in an area ordering cases, not just single thing, but cases of Dare to Prepare books at a time. This started actually in May of 2008, and it has gone all the way through to where we are now. It had a little bit of a dip last month where it slowed down a bit, but then it's back on again. I don't know what's making them wake up, but we're just having people ringing and wanting consultations from Holly about what to do, where to go, and how do you do certain things. We've had people that are holding their own lectures about emergency preparation that are using her book, but also talking to her on the phone about things that they want quantified, you know, that aren't in the book, you know, to go further what she's got on the website. And all that stuff is free anyway, but they just want her to digest it. And we had one of those calls this morning. I think we've got another one coming Wednesday. Tomorrow she said, Tuesday. But it does show signs of people waking up in clusters of very kind of awake people all of a sudden. And the common thing we're hearing from these at the moment is, look, I've been meaning to do this, I've been meaning to get the book, or I've been meaning to get the prudent places or to call you, but, you know, I'll put it off until such and such happened, and it's current events that are motivating them. So, you know, I think they're going to get real motivated shortly when things start to go to heck in a handbasket with the food prices, with the drought, the tornadoes and hurricanes. We're going to have hurricanes this season that are going to be in different places, I reckon, than normal because of this weird El Nino position. and we're going to have crop failures. In Australia, they're looking at crop failures not due to drought so much. I mean, certainly that's hurt them, but they're watching for irregular weather patterns that, you know, either causes, you know, insects to eat crops or crops to be flooded at the wrong time or winds that might cut them off at the root when they're too young. But they're just, in each part of the world, there are different factors that they're worried about. And what I'm concerned about as far as geological and food shortages is what's happening in the Indonesian area of the Indian Ocean and west of there, off the tip of Sri Lanka. There are things brewing there that could very well signal massive crop failures and even tsunamis to the coastal areas of India and what is that? They're part of the northern part of Indonesia where they already had a large quake offshore that did the damage in, what was that, 2005 or something? Four? I forget now when that big nine, Victor 9 hit. What year was that?
2005? Correct us, ladies and gentlemen. My brain is a Monday brain right now.
Yeah, mine too. I mean, you and I both have got, and Holly, we've all got so many things rolling around up that we're trying to integrate all the time that, you know, somebody say, what's your name? I'm thinking, name.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
No, the thing I think, though, Stan, that's important is that right now we're, and this is true, sensory overload. There is so much going on and trying to prioritize it and then trying to basically get it out there in a way that people can see it, you know, is really important from the standpoint of I think a lot of people look to you or look to me or look to all of us that have talk radio programs and or websites to give them kind of an encapsulation. But I don't think people understand that when they shut off, our data streams run pretty much 24/7, and even in sleeping, you live with this stuff, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes you don't sleep much.
Yeah. What is that, a word?
Yeah. You and I both know that. And it's
right, by the way, it was December 26, 2004.
All right, it was 2004. I thought it was. The other thing that's kind of, that parallels what we're talking about here, or segues into it, is what is it going to take to make Americans, particularly, wake up to realize that we've had enough, we're not going to take it anymore, you know, from the politics, from the weather, from the hiding of information on UFOs, all that kind of stuff. You know, what's it going to take? Is it going to take somebody having a shootout again, like another Waco, or is it going to take a collapse of the American dollar? Is it going to take a major quake that just absolutely wipes, you know, towns in the United States West or in the New Madrid area? What do you think it's going to take?
Well, I think I can tell you what, Jim Willie is in Costa Rica, okay? Probably one of the most astute financial guys in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what he said, and I just want to read this to you because it answers your question real quick.
All right.
From the standpoint of what's it going to take, okay? Because, again, you know, as the scripture tells us, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. What happens when there's 2,000 or 3,000 witnesses, you know? And people all over, you know, the country, out of the country. I mean, 90% of my information now comes from out of the country. Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and all of my gold and financial information comes from pretty much the Orient, the Caribbean, or Europe, and deep Europe, not London, okay? I just pretty much kiss that off. But let me read this to you. This is from Jim Willie's latest jackass newsletter, or hat-trick newsletter. He said this: my best source of bank information confirmed the report of U.S. bank shutdown plans by the U.S. government. A confirmation came saying this report is 100% correct, is much worse, and it will get a lot worse than most people can imagine their wildest dreams. The arising opportunities and rising risks are limitless. Those who get in early enough in the next 8 weeks will prosper. Now, here's what he's saying. One ex-U.S. military contact also confirmed the bank shutdown plans. He has friends located inside U.S. Homeland Security Agency. He said he passes on the word that the HSA, Homeland Security, has extensive drills to prepare for national riot control in early October. He also mentions that HSA has by far, well, I won't go in there, he's because the dumbest people, but he's saying this, Stan. He goes on to say that that they are thinking that the bank's going to be closed in late August. That's what they're saying. So when people see this, you cannot expect people that are no longer able to feed their families, no longer able to even hope that they have a future beyond how do they eat tomorrow, to sit passively. Now, also, today, massive information from military sources that there is movement all over the country of what we people have been seeing, not just random military activities, but training, etc. But the other thing that's fascinating is one report is that in one of the biggest underground bases out in Indiana, in that area, they're already putting up, you're going to love this, the red signs, the blue signs, the green signs, and the orange signs. And this is from a retired high-ranking military guy. And he said, Steve, he said, I talked to a guy that was basically responsible for building the two-lane highways into the substantial underground bases. So it seems like, Stan, they're expecting the absolute worst case.
Well, it's going to come. It's just a matter of what's going to trigger it. And certainly, I mean, the Obama administration is already warning its foreign offices and embassies to stock up on cash for September for a drop in the U.S. dollar, a catastrophic drop. And coupled with that, if you look at Russia and China are saying that if Israel attacks Iran, which we know is on the cards soon, they didn't say if Israel attacks Syria, which is also on the cards, but anyway, that if the United States does, that Russia and China are going to start, you know, doing trade embargoes and starting a world war with the United States because of it. And that's if Israel makes the attack, not the United States. And they're saying because the Israelis will be using territories the Americans have in Iraq and some of the bunker buster bombs, about 100 of them that they've gotten out of the thousands they wanted from during the Bush administration. And Bush wouldn't let them have the bunker buster bombs, you know, for who knows what the real reason was. But anyway, so the Israelis are going to do what they're going to do with whatever they can, and this is going to trigger problems with the United States and China particularly. And China says one of the things we'll do if you let the Israelis attack Iran is that we're not going to buy any more U.S. debt. We'll stop right now, and then we'll see what you do. And, of course, they're our biggest creditor, in essence, by buying U.S. debt at the moment.
Well, and as a scientist, you'll appreciate this. Supposedly, right now, under consideration, that may cost the Secretary of Defense Gates his job, is that the Obama administration is selling our stealth B-2 bomber technology and our radar-absorbing paint, the whole stealth program, to China for $50 billion in debt forgiveness. Are you aware of that?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
And Gates has put up his hackles, and basically, he was told in the last, I think, 48 hours that if he does not go along with it, he's been asked to step down. Now, you know, the Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. And what's fascinating is now is that, you know, the old statement of Lenin that the West would hang, or that we would hang ourselves with the rope that we sold to the communists. Remember that statement?
Yeah.
Well, it seems like now everything is on the marketplace. By the way, one of my emails sent in, she believes specifically that it will be the flu and martial law that it will take to wake people up. You know?
Well, when the flu gets bad enough, they're saying that we're going to be told to stay indoors in our houses and shut ourselves off for several weeks. It's like a, you know, self-imposed quarantine.
Right, but they're saying that's not going to be allowed now, Stan. They're saying that you will be forced, and there are already programs, and this is, you know, this is on big news stories that they're looking for in the new bill, you know, the ability to go in and force people to take vaccinations. Do you think that if someone knows that a company that produced the deadliest vaccine, I think Holly put up for me the 60 Minutes situation on the swine flu 1976, where I think there were only two flu deaths that year, but 300 people died from the vaccination. And people might like to know this, that according to the web bots, the shot will kill you. They're going to be on coast to coast, you know, Cliff and Jordan. Now, whether people believe that or not, all I'm telling you is that the very nature of the company, how is it that they've already got a patent pending for a vaccine for a supposedly relatively new recombinant virus that normally takes a year after the virus quits mutating to build a vaccine?
Psychic members of their staff?
Yes. You know, I just don't get it.
Yeah, there's some legislation now that Holly put up, I mentioned up, that the government is already making it illegal to prosecute the people that supply the vaccine in case it fails, you know. I mean,
right.
Duh.
Well, can I ask you a question, okay? Because these are people out there, and I'm calling, ladies and gentlemen. I'll have a special broadcast Wednesday night. We're going to call the whole country to prayer again that God is going to reveal the nefarious nature of the vaccine. But let me share this, Dan. You love Holly. I mean, good night. Like I love my wife. They love us, and you love your kids, and you love the beauty that God's created. But how, and I'm not putting you on the spot, but how can a normal person, how can I as a loving husband know that my wife is going to die if she takes the vaccine? By the way, you know Loretta. Cold day in Hades when she, you know, I mean, that's always been her line of sand. And you've heard my story about Nathan, my son, and he still suffers from the vaccination hell, you know, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But the thing is that I think if people really put into perspective what they're saying is, we're going to either kill you today or kill you tomorrow. And again, the thing that's really critical about this is that the plans of all the prison camps are not just for the rioters, not just for the, you know, and for the record, gun owners don't even have the privilege of going into the, quote, prison camps. I'm using the word privilege tongue-in-cheek. It's because of the situation that you know, they're to be taken out. I believe it's time for all of God's people, literally every intercessor, every Christian that is called by the name of the Lord, you must decide whether you're going to take a vaccine that is sure to kill you. And I would encourage everybody listening to this program tonight to listen to Coast tomorrow with George Ure. And look, this whole, and Cliff, whatever, hi. The thing is that it's not a question, Stan, of the web bots or some psychic guru or even chicken entrails. But we know from the scripture, the bottom line is that the four horsemen are riding. And I know you well enough. We've known each other for a lot of years now. And the thing is that this troubles you immensely, does it not?
It does. And I'll tell you what, over the last few weeks, Holly and I have been kind of restructuring the way we do our daily prayers, and I discussed this with you. I know that we've talked about it. A lot of people pray, please do or give me or, you know, provide or heal. And when you look at the Lord's Prayer, you know, it doesn't say, look, if it's all right, could I have my daily bread? It says, give us this day. It's a command. Give us this day our daily bread. And don't lead us into temptation. Okay? It's positive statements. It's command statements made by children of the everlasting or eternal God. And I think that when we pray, especially those people listening to you on Wednesday there for your show, that you should encourage them to do it as a command. It's their right as children of God through Jesus to command such and such to happen. And once we start doing that, even you know, small experiments we did over trees that were wounded in our backyard, we had to transplant them and stuff. It's working. And healing something in my body in two places, it's working.
Right. You're talking about the authority of a believer. I think most people, it's real easy. God gives us, the real statement of His Word. His Word is always with an exclamation point. The man or mankind's Word is always with a question mark. 99% of the people that I know that pray in unbelief, because they always say, if it be thy will, like Holly brought out, the Lord's Prayer is specific, you know?
Yep.
Jesus said, you are to ask this thing. And that's why Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed. Well, you know what most people don't understand? Mustard seed will take root any place, as you know. They like sometimes the rough ground, but most Christians don't feel, how should I say this? They don't feel like they're in a position with the Lord, even though Jesus declares in His Word, I'm the good shepherd, you know, my sheep hear my voice, to take that authority and that functional authority that's given. It's not earned. We are not, it's not a meritorious gift. It is a divine act of grace in our life. And that's why I think that, you know, at this time in our lives, our mutual lives, yours, Holly's, mine, Loretta, our mutual families, it's like almost like you're not going to take it anymore. And that's when the Lord smiles and said, now you get it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, that grain of mustard seed parable about moving the mountain, if you have as much faith even as a grain of mustard seed, it says, if you tell the mountain to move.
Right.
Not if you ask it, would you please, or someone else, oh, look, could you move that mountain? It's, if you say to the mountain, move, it will move.
Right.
This is the thing. It's command positive. You know, it's just, it's been there in front of us all the time, and people that have had a prayer that worked well knew that and know that. And I think more of us should know that in these times, because it's going to be our first line of defense against the baddies.
Right. Here's a question for you that people are, multiple questions coming in. John Galt's asking me to ask you, what do you make of a spike in the earthquake activity around Greenland 2 weeks ago? Does this mean we could be seeing the early signs of a magnetic pole swap? Are you concerned about that at this point? Is it setting off your scientific sensors?
Well, you know, Holly and I kind of amateur watch the moon and planets at night, and like a lot of other folks, and the other night, I mean, this may be a perfectly normal astronomical event, but I was out after sunset. It was dark, and I went out on the back porch for something, and I looked up, and I thought, oh, wow, that must be a UFO in those clouds back behind the house here, because it's glowing so bright, and, you know, I better see what this is. And it took a while, and finally the cloud cleared, and it was the moon. And it was the moon sitting over a guy's house, his barn, actually, to where I'd never seen the moon before. I thought, well, I guess it's just this time of year. And I went back into the house, told Holly what I'd seen. She said, oh, yeah. A couple nights later, she went out and she said, where did you say you saw that? I said, over there. She said, oh, look, here's the moon over here, you know, to the left, probably about 90 degrees. I said, wow. And then there was no moon at all. Of course, these are periods of the moon stuff, but still, it seemed to be in a place we'd never, ever seen it set before. And so I thought, well, maybe, I don't know, are we starting to drift and people aren't telling us?
Well, of course they're not telling us because, you know, you got to, ladies and gentlemen, when Stan and I were doing the shows we were doing together and all the shows, I mean, you got to laugh, Stan, because after the sea surface temperature, then you were forbidden to go there. After one of my broadcasts talking about, you know, the thing coming in from the southern hemisphere, within 12 hours, the military gives their dictate. There's no open discussion. So you ask a question, and the answer is they are not going to tell us anything.
I've been putting out feelers with people I know in various places in Indonesia and Australia and whatever, to get with astronomers that they might know on a personal basis in the southern hemisphere and check that location of that thing out there near Neptune at 18 degrees right ascension. If you're in the southern hemisphere, you correct your telescope pointing for parallax era. It's just inside the orbit of Neptune. And that it could be a brown dwarf. It's a very massive thing if it's there. And we've had some reasonably credible information come to us, which we're trying to check out. But this is weird.
Right. Now, I want to make it clear, too. The brown dwarf is in addition to what I'm being told about, okay?
Oh, really?
I'm being told about a 15 to 20 mile in diameter, if you will, almost like a spherical object that's changing speed and changing its azimuth and changing relatively very, very, how should I say this, even to the point of stopping. That's when the military, when I talked about it, I forget, 2 weeks ago or whatever, Holly put the story up, U.S. military says that complete lockdown. That's when all the astronomers and everyone went crazy going, we got to have access to this stuff, you know. So it's fascinating. Here's what I look for, cause and effect. Do I believe they listen to the show? Absolutely. Do I believe or do I know and believe? Absolutely. Do I think that there's something to it? All I can tell you is they could not have made the announcement that quickly, okay? It didn't even give them time to put up a good story or a reflection of one of the moons of Saturn, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
The bottom line is within 12 hours, and one guy said, that's when you saw it, Steve, it was posted within 4 hours after your show, and he actually sent me an email with the date on it. So I'm only saying this. It appears that, to answer John Galt's question, are you then seeing signs, potential signs, let's use that word, are you seeing potential signs of a magnetic pole swap?
Yes, and more than just the earthquakes up around Greenland, that little cluster there, the South Atlantic anomaly, that magnetic anomaly
right down
there that lets electromagnetic radiation and lethal radiation, in fact, from the sun leak through and hit the ocean there, that is widening and drifting. We've had your personal reports from people ringing in from islands on the northeast coast of South America where people were getting sick, dizzy, nausea, like radiation problems, going to the doctor in droves, and it was because I'm reasonably certain at that time the the effect of the anomaly had widened, and it was allowing radiation to seep in where it shouldn't, or where it doesn't normally anyway. So with that anomaly and the instability there, I'm thinking that's a magnetic anomaly, and that is unstable because the core, you know, motions and the dynamo that creates our magnetic field is in change, or is in, you know, change or from normal to another position, which could be making North Pole dance all around the planet, or it could just do a straight reversal and put the south where the north is. I don't think it's going to turn the planet upside down, but I do think that we are very close to a magnetic field or polarity change in the planet. And I suppose that what will happen is it'll do it when the sun changes its polar orientation, because it does that every 22 years with the Hale magnetic cycle. So we're now coming up to mid-cycle 24. It might be at the end of this cycle. I have to check and see when the Hale magnetic thing comes in. But this solar cycle 24, toward either the middle of it or the end of it, we might see this polar change take place.
Well,
yeah,
I think it's
possible, and certainly there are signs of irregularities in the magnetic field.
Well, I think another thing that most people, you know, and this is a question somebody wanted to ask you, and I think I sent you the email about scalar weapons. One of the things that I'm told is when the earthquake and volcanic generating weapons go into effect, they create gravity wells, okay? Now, it's interesting because, as you know, that area up in, what is it, Norway, Svalbard?
Yeah.
Well, that's where the Noah's Ark, you know, with apologies to the biblical Noah, of the seeds of the world are kept.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the panic if that thing's taken out? Now, I want to make this clear. Because of the worry of Cumbre Vieja going off, and because of whether people want to believe this or not, or multiple governments using extreme technology, what I call Tesla on steroids, the bottom line is that if that is true, Stan, that with increased, electromagnetic weapons being, and the gravity wells being created, then I was told this by Air Force General. He said, "We cannot fly through those things, Steve." He said, "They will drop it out. They'll drop a normal airplane." That's what he said, out of the sky like a box of, a rock. So, you know, we had those two crashes. We had all the lies and the
The airline crashes?
You got it.
Yeah, they were electromagnetic problems, reasonably certain, yeah.
Yes, but again, were you aware of the gravity well issue that's created when they use those form of scalar weapons?
No. I do, as you know, I'm preparing a paper for release which shows the interaction between electricity and gravity very graphically and how you can duplicate the experiment yourself at home. And so if they do interact like that, then a scalar electromagnetic weapon must surely have some effect on gravity where the beam concentrates. Personally, I think it is horribly irresponsible for the nations of the world that have this technology to use it as a weapon at this time, because if one country is using it while the other country is using it, while the third country is using it, they're going to create effects that are unpredictable in our electromagnetic sphere here, or in magnetic field and gravity.
Right, and let's say this. Country A, Country B, Country C. Here's a scientific question for you. This isn't a trick question. They're all using derivatives of whatever technology they've stolen or acquired from each other and from, let's just say this, extra solar sources. There we go. We'll throw it out of the galaxy. So then they have ramifications being generated, or what's a better word than ramifications, but ancillary forces, or because they don't understand it, they pull the trigger, but they don't understand that the reverberations intersecting with someone else's pulled triggers, reverberations, the military has a term for that, but I don't want to use it. We'll just call it galactic foul-up beyond all repair, okay,
yeah,
goobar.
A foobar, yes.
Yes, goobar. I'd like a goober, but the bottom well, I'm trying to be...
away with words.
Yes, I'm trying to be a little kinder and gentler.
Yeah.
But again, from a scientific standpoint, that would explain so much. It would also explain that obviously there is a battle going on under the seas, above the atmosphere, and it seems to me that there's just way too much desire on the part of they who are in the know to keep those of us who are basically the PDBs, and I'll let you figure out what they refer to the B as, illegitimate people, but they call us the poor, dumb, illegitimate people, that we're not privileged, elite to know. And so the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, and you know this, Dan, I say, everybody, you can't handle this stuff, take it to the Lord in prayer and ask him if it's true. If you don't, if you're not a Christian, then just scoff at it and forget it. But when your world is turned upside down, then you got some things to deal with. Where are we, in your opinion now, as far as the potential? The South Pacific is heating up, acting up. Holly, by the way, God bless her, give her a hug for me. She found the most beautiful picture of Anna Krakatau that I have ever seen.
Oh, that sunshot on the beach through the trees?
Oh, I gotta have that. I don't know if she, I'll ask Holly to find it. I'm gonna buy that photo and make a 20 by 40 footer of it. It's that nice.
It's a ripper. The contrast on it, the colors it's just, what a mood, eh?
But the thing that's interesting to me is the days of Noah and Anak, from, obviously you're the Hebrew guy, Anakim, okay?
Mm.
You know, and so what we're talking about is just the potential for the sun, for the son of Krakatoa to even exceed the explosive power. Now, one of the things I got to ask you about, people used to poo-poo Henry Gruber's vision of the Pacific West being invaded by foreign forces, the West Coast and others, you know. I mean, A.A. Allen had it too. I mean, there are a lot of guys who have a lot of visions, and I'm talking separated by, you know, one of them almost separated by a century. But were you fascinated to find out the largest lake of magma, you know, I love that word, magma, was basically found under the Cascade region?
You mean larger than the one under Yellowstone?
Yep.
When did that happen? I missed that.
About 2-3 weeks ago, it was put up on my website. Now, here's what I'm saying. See,
I'm surprised. Yes.
Yeah.
When I say surprised, is that it's a lake, yes. That it's
right.
Getting closer to the surface, no, because for, 10 or 12 years we've been talking about it, moving up to within a mile of the surface all along the Cascades from even, you know, down into the tail end of it down in Mexico. I even had dream visions about that whole West Coast erupting in 6 to 8 volcanoes at once.
Right, and that's the same thing that Henry Gruber had. But before that, you know, I mean, I've gotten into it. You know, I think I can open my mouth and get into it with somebody. The thing is that the scientists, you know, are saying, well, there's no evidence. And I said, evidence, brother? What do you think made those volcanoes? You know?
Yeah.
And so the thing is, what I'm saying is, up until, now, did they know it before that? Absolutely, yes. But was it interesting that now that we've got all the activity, we've got all the world tension, we've got Israel supposedly placing their assets for war in Iran, and as you said, Syria too. We've got all these things going on, and yet now we've got the biggest, in my opinion, we've got scaled up magnitudes of things looking like they're going to pop, and that stuff just is just dismissed. It astonishes me.
Dave, you remember the, the Iron Mountain document?
Yes.
Okay. In fact, all of what they were talking about as far as driving the sheep into the gate you want them to go in by controlling massive global threats or crises, all of those things are happening now. I mean, they're looking at economic, at warfare, at weather or climate, probably being misled about the global warming stuff because that's happening on all the planets, but they're using that as a way to herd the sheep in one direction. They're using the disease and pandemics as another way, and that they can certainly control by injecting it. All those curves or all those factors are now coming to the point where people will cry out, even if it's Satan himself, to find a leader for this planet that will bring everything back into control. And this is spooky.
Right. By the way, a report coming in from the Caribbean right now, we call this gentleman Caribbean Joe, okay? It
mm-hmm.
says, hi Steve, what Stan is saying is right. A lot of people are sick on the island. Digestive problems, pain in the back and the neck, teeth aches, joint pains, depression. It becomes less after 7 p.m. when the sun sets. Yep, and the sun shines like autumn in the USA. It is not a summer sunshine. I don't have any explanation to this. I do, and I mean, I'm sure you do too. The thing that I think people need to understand, and this is, ladies and gentlemen, a year ago, and correct me if I'm wrong, those of you that get the web bots, they were talking about the sun sickness. So, you know, even some of the NASA releases have had this in the statement, is the sun sick? You probably saw that headline.
Well, and believe me, the sun is not behaving properly, whether it's sick or not, but it's anomalous behavior. And we're at a point where traditional science, or quote-unquote science, which says if things have happened this way in a cycle in a period for the last 2,000 years, then they will do that tomorrow and the next day thereafter. It's called post hoc ergo prompt hoc logic in Latin, which means if it's happened this way before, it will continue to happen that way. And yawn, it's an axiom.
Right. This is important for you to hear because this is being written to both of us. Steve and Stan, it's interesting that NASA has increased the frequency of its shuttle launches and the urgency, that's all capitalized and bold, in getting the repairs done the Hubble telescope. I can tell you that during the launch and mission of Hubble, there was quite a focus on the Joint Operations Center at our facility. Now, this person is obviously very well placed, okay?
Yeah.
And so the thing is the question then that everyone's asking, you know, and I'll get the email, so I'm going to ask you, if there is a massive amount of launches and they want the Hubble telescope done and other, let's say, assets put into orbit or even beyond the orbit of our Earth, the thing is that there seems to be a lot of concern. There seems to be a pace picking up. That would be... It's not evidence, but it is interesting that it's ancillary activity that would give credence to what we're postulating, does it not?
Oh, yeah, and then you can also pick things like on the Sci-Fi Channel and various things about meteor strikes and how the world defeats them and all this kind of stuff and earthquake. All this kind of stuff is kind of coming to the forefront again. It's cycling in, and it's heavy. I just got an email in from one of your listeners here saying that there's a bigger HARP spike now than at the time of the New Zealand quake a week ago, which is saying, if that's the case, that we're going to see a big quake somewhere.
Right.
If it's triggered by these scalar waves or whatever HARP is putting out in the equivalent in the other countries. Now, I don't know. These things, these scalar wave weapons, as far as I know, you don't just push a button and say, strike now, and 10 seconds later it hits on the other side of the planet. It takes a finite amount of time to make a spike directly occur, or like a lightning strike to come out of the ionosphere and hit a target. But you have to charge up the ionosphere with the energy first, and then weaken the atmosphere over a target for it to happen, for the scalar wave or for a lightning strike, which you can cause to happen by having control of the HARP technology. And this is like the Antichrist will do at this time. He'll bring fire down from the sky on the side of men to impress them. He'll probably strike targets with lightning, and he'll use a HARP type, super ionospheric heater type weapon, I'm sure, to do it.
Well,
may be seeing this. It may be something that's been building up for a while, and they're going to release a lot of energy all of a sudden, but it's taken them weeks to generate it to an area where they can use it.
Several years ago, I was corrected on air by, the gentleman that that were on a space-based weapons platform telling me the forces that you're discussing are right, but they're not HARP. They said, we have stuff. Their direct quote, we have stuff that makes atom bombs look like child's play. And I said, can you instantaneously, and they said, and beyond the speed of light. So I'm just telling you what I've been told, you know. And I can tell you this, I've been the recipient, Stan, as you know the story, and I won't bore anybody with it, but I've been the recipient of a space-based weapons platform pulse at my old store when I started talking about Russian tunnels under the Aleutian. Man, I mean, even they brought in scientists, they brought in physicists, they being Montana Power at the time. They had spikes. They said, look, you're so far off the charts for any known power surge on this planet, even an electrical, even a lightning strike has a noticeable power spike, on their monitors.
Yep.
And guess what? In an area of about 2 square miles, all industrial park, I was the only guy that got hit, okay?
Literally. Well, I got to say, that's a pretty narrow microwave beam.
You got it.
So
anyway, I know that. Now, listen to this. Here's another one. This just confirms what you and Holly saw, okay? Because I think, again, I don't know, and I've asked the Lord this in prayer, Lord, how many people have to see it to believe it before they get it, okay? Steve and Stan, so glad I was able to be home to listen to you both tonight. I've been telling people the moon, the night sky, and cloud formations are different. I looked for the moon one night where it should have been, and it was somewhere else. I also saw bright white round ball-shaped objects falling from the sky two different nights. One can be explained as a shooting star, but the other objects I saw were not like anything I'd ever seen before. Also, a lot of us are having dreams about the West Coast, people leaving in droves and coming to Arizona. Some people are actually dreaming of a big tsunami hitting the West Coast. You both are hitting so many of our feelings right on the head that I'm getting goosebumps. God bless you both and your families. Barb.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know.
Well, you know, we're getting emails like that, too, even before the show, people having these dreams and visions about stuff and West Coast and also in Australia and New Zealand. Now, this thing with China, I had Holly put up a thing on the website today about a prophecy we got that was, first we could find it was on the Internet the 26th of June, and it was from a guy that was or is a Blackfoot Indian and who's gone and got, he's a spirit guide and all that kind of stuff, you know, years ago as an Indian, but he had a prophecy dream, vision, which showed him that at the time of the reenactment of the lunar landing, the first lunar landing, within 7 days of that, plus or minus, that Walter Cronkite would die. And this thing was on the Internet, on several blog sites, before, you know, weeks before Cronkite died. And so when you see that happen, know that within 333 days of Cronkite's death, there will be a failure of the Three Gorges Dam, the Great Dam in China. Now that is then linked to a Maori prophecy, which the Maori kahuna sent to us, down in North Island, New Zealand, where Lake Taupo is, that it will erupt and cause great damage. Something connected with a scandal and logs stored, thousands of them that are disgorged when, or released when there's a, you know, I guess a dam failure there in China. And it would kill thousands of people, and there would be a scandal associated with it because of people stealing the logs or the timber that was stored there for some reason for their own purposes there. It's like, you know, to steal money from the project, I guess. But all these things do indicate that we're within less than a year of something happening in China, a big something, and then also in Taupo in New Zealand, and I suppose other places. We're just seeing all kinds of warnings about this.
Well, I think, too, it's important for people to understand that, obviously, if everything is being changed, I know this and I've said this so many times, but it's one thing to say it now. It's another thing to say it 10 years ago. And, you know, when I gave a prophecy that the Lord gave to me, that the very fabric that holds reality as we know it in our dimension together is going to be torn apart, and
yep.
That as the terrors become perceptible, people are going to see the very things that the love of God has tried to keep them from. And when the devil comes upon, you know, people, I think that they're just too caught up in, they're unbelievers, and they think that, wow, everything in the book of Revelation's allegories. I got news for you. I don't know angel language, you know, but I do know this. When an angel says, whoa, we got problems, okay? You know, whoa. That's not yo, that's whoa. And
yeah.
and the deal is that woe unto inhabitants of the earth. And see, it's not only what's coming upon the earth, but it's coming from under the earth, you know. And I still tell everybody the thing that's interesting to me, Stan, especially in the area of Puerto Rico, is that trench, you know, that runs from Puerto Rico all the way out into the Caymans, all the
yep.
way through the
yep.
Caribbean.
Yep.
That's one of the deepest 11 trenches in the world. It's also the home, a reputed home, of one of the most active alien/human interchange bases on our planet. Now, I can only tell you this, that what I was given information on that area is that there's so much activity in the deepest trenches of the world. It's like somebody said, Steve, it's almost like they were all capped, but he said simultaneously they're all getting ready to be opened up. And I thought, that's interesting.
Like an angel coming down?
You got it.
And unsealing the pit and letting them
yep.
out.
Yep. And so what I'm really concerned with, and again, you know, the ability of CERN to, this is something I wish someday, and maybe, you know, I don't know, you're so busy. By the way, somebody just sent me an email, a second one. Are you going to reprint Cosmic Conspiracy?
You know, I just received that from me here, that
okay.
forwarded one from Deborah. Yes. And in fact, it's funny she should ask. Because on my desk right now, I am converting it to an e-book instead of waiting on it being printed. I'm going to make an electronic book, which will be cheaper and quicker for people to get off our website.
Cool.
And I'm going to add new material, but I'm putting a lot of the original material just as it was to show people how far ahead that book was in 1978 about what's happening today. And then I'm going to add, the various addenda that I put to the book in various reprints of it over the years at the tail end. And I've got about 200 pages done, the first 200 pages. And I'd say within a couple of weeks, hopefully, if I don't have any more interruptions for time, I will get this up onto the website. So
I think that's absolutely a timely, God-directed decision. There is no time. Stan will tell you, as they print their books, the same printer prints my books. I mean, it's just from the time you get everything to them, you're waiting, at least 30 days, if not sometimes 6 weeks?
Yeah, and things are happening so quick now. Then with an electronic form, you can just add stuff to it right now and get it up there.
Right.
And they can go print it out then, and that's great.
Is it your, I didn't know that, so boy, great news. Are you planning then to continually add to it if something like, let's say you dealt with 20 years ago, but now it's right in your face, I don't know what you'd call an e-book that you can add your addendums to even after the people buy the book?
Yeah.
Cool.
If they go up and pull that file down, because once they've purchased it, it's stored up there on our server, and they can go in with their password and get it. And if it's been updated, then they get the updated thing.
Okay, cool. But it is your plan. I knew they could do that, but it is your plan to update, too, continually.
I'm going to try to update it to where we are in the New World Order, but that's going to come in segments.
Gotcha.
Because there's a lot to that. But that and the Vindicator Scrolls will be the next I'm going to try to put up as an e-book. We're I think almost totally out of them now. We found a whole box over in the workshop the other day, and we've had people just buying them by the droves at the moment. But I'm going to probably put up a special on the Vindicator Scrolls, which talks about where the Garden of Eden was and is, and Atlantis, and how that fit into the plan, and technology and stuff. That was done in 1989, and it's just so expensive to print that book that we're going to make it an e-book as well. And so that it'll be cheap and ready to pull down. So that, with the paper I'm writing on gravity, electricity, and magnetism, and showing people with graphic examples and animations and stills how they can test electricity and gravity, the interaction, and what this all means. These things are keeping me busy.
Well, now listen, this is the hardest request I've ever given to you, and Holly will appreciate this one. I want you to come up with a way to give me 48 and 24. I need that.
I know how to do it. I just don't have the resources to build the room. Yet.
I know. I understand that. Somebody once said, I only work 8. I said, I've never worked 8 hours in my life. And I said, I'm trying to figure out a way to get the Lord to multiply it. I'm serious. I'm not being silly now, because we're running out of time. We're told to redeem the time, for the days are evil.
Well, look, people, you've said it, danced around it, but people, if they haven't done preparation of, like, foodstuffs and, water and medicines, and that they take on a regular basis, if we have this pandemic or any other major emergency that makes people housebound or closes the banks or whatever, money's going to be useless. You got to get the things that you need, and that's why Holly's got the website up telling you what you need. It's all free. Just get up there on the preparedness site, and that's why she's got the book, The Dare to Prepare. That's why people are buying it by the caseloads, is because they're getting together and forming pools of resource building, where one person will have seeds or food, and one with water treatment. They're doing it in family groups and neighborhood groups. It's happening, and we're just about out of time.
Yep. Well, we're out of time tonight, Stan. Thank you so much. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you'll know the announcement will be on my website as well as Stan Deo. And by the way, I'll spell your name for everyone. I still get people saying, I can't find his website. Deyo.com. Stan, Deyo.com. Stan, thank you. God bless you. And just thanks again so much.
Okay, let's hope it does some good.
Bye-bye.
Yep.